Okay, our mission today is to try to highlight some of the themes in Sheni. Sheni referring here to Sheni of Vayakel, Sheni of Pekudei, and also HaChodesh. Try to see if we can at least highlight as many of the themes in the time that we have. So, just one observation overall about the second Aliyah of Vayakel. So, it's interesting, it's hard to know how much significance this has, but this plan that we have of focusing on a certain Aliyah every week, it allows you to notice parallels in the way the Parsha is structured. And it's just interesting, it's the notion that the participation in the Mishkan is a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. So last week we were doing the second Aliyah of Kisisa. And there we read about the tremendous shame and embarrassment of Jews donating from their jewelry and from their property towards the Egel Hazal. And this Parsha and Vayakel and Sheni, we're reading about the Jews donating towards the Mishkan. So the notion that one is mechaper for the other is very strongly parallel in that sense. So with that in mind, just to take a look at some of the psukim here. So Parak Lamed Hey, Chav Aleph, Sheni and Vayakel, V'yavo kalisha sher naso libo, v'chal sher nod v'rucho. Also, haviyu es trumas Hashem l'malachas l'amoy v'chol avodaso l'zeyakodesh. So they brought their donations, as we were noting. And here, the parallel, maybe double language, of naso libo and nod v'rucho. So the Nitziv comments that there are two different types of donors. A libo is somebody who his heart is kind of pulling at him. He feels maybe guilty if he's not going to donate, if he's not going to participate. So his heart pushes him to do it. But rucho means, not the rucho, means that his spirit realizes that this is a good idea. Intellectually, he understands that this is something that he wants to do. The Aruch Chaim has it differently. Aruch Chaim has it that rucho refers to as much as you can do, the normal circumstances, and libo is more than you can do. And the Ramban has a comment here, which is often quoted, that the whole idea of naso libo, that it means that their hearts brought them towards this malacha, that they weren't taught to do this, but they felt that this was something that they wanted to be a part of, that they wanted to be connected to. And the Sefer Ol Moshe, he notes that the Rambam Hilchot Talmud Torah has a very similar language in talking about the Talmud Torah experience. We write that anyone can learn Torah. And his language, Mishanasa libo l'kayim mitzvazu, that there was somebody whose heart lifts him to fulfill this mitzvah. His heart makes him strive for more. There's a certain instinctive connection and yearning for this kind of spirituality. So that is perhaps what's being conveyed here. So the Targum Yonasan has a focus here with seemingly on Nevuah. It says Rucho Nevuah. So the Sfarim they ask, the Paris Yosef raised the question, Nevuah, we're talking about everybody here. So they were all Nevi'im. So he writes that people with Ruach HaKodesh, they also brought on their own. Okay, so the pasuk continues. V'yavo ha'anoshim al ha'anoshim kol medivlei v'hiviyu chach v'nezim v'tabas v'chumaz kol klei zav v'chalisha sher heniv t'nufa zav la'ashem. So here the idea of al-nashim, so it sounds like the jewelry was on them, and that's what Unkelus writes. Al-nashaya, they were actually wearing the jewelry. Rashi translated as they were with the jewelry, was with the Nashim. So with Moshe Feinstein comments in the Darash Moshe, there's actually two ideas here, that they wore the jewelry on the way there to show that this was actually jewelry that they used. It wasn't just extra. And the men and the women came together because it's shared property, so they need the rishus of both of them to donate, and that's the message there. And also, the Meshech Chachma observes the point about the ego that we made reference to before, that this is also that there shouldn't be a motzi laz on the connection to the ego. So that idea of kol medivlei, the Medrash emphasizes here also, the idea that it's a kapara for the ego. And Ramesh Sterbuch, in a Sefer Tam V'Das, notes that the idea also is that if we want to have a kapara, so the ratzon is a part of the kapara. And the idea that this is something that they wanted to do is an important part of what's meaningful here and what's significant. So the fact that they felt the desire to do this, that is also credited as a part of their kabbara, as a part of their kapara. There's a lot to say about this. Those are some of the ideas. The Gemara Maseches Chagiga and Daf Yud has a comment here that there is a remez for Hataras Nedarim. It's interesting because this parsha later on is also the source for the idea of Malachas Machshevet, and the Gemara and the Mishnah and the Gemara and Chagiga point out there are certain crucial Torah ideas which are so important, yet they're not really spelled out in the Torah at all. And Malachas Machshevet is a big example later in the parsha that laws of Shabbos are all defined by Malachas Machshevet, and we don't know what that means, not spelled out, and it's not even said in the context of Shabbos, said in the context of the Mishnah. So the Gemara highlights that, and together with that also mentions Hetter Nedarim, something which is in the Torah from the Torah, but it's very hard to see it explicitly. So they quote a remez from this pasuk, and the Torah Tanina says that it shows that there has to be a consistency between the action and the heart. So the Nedivus Halev is also by the actual bringing. It's not just by the dedication, that maybe if they had committed something but they weren't really into it when they were bringing it, then maybe that would be grounds to say, okay, you're not obligated if you're not connected intellectually to what you had committed to. That could have been grounds for Hataras Nedarim. We see that, no, we're emphasizing that they were actually still committed to this. And this also brings up the whole question of a mental commitment to Tzedakah, what exactly its significance is. We have the notion of Mirasol Gavoah Kmitzira L'Hedjet Ami, that when you say that you're giving something to Kodesh, it has the status as if it was actually given over. And in Shulchan Aruch, the whole discussion was that's true for all Tzedakah, or it's just true from Hekdesh. There's a lot to say about that, and a lot of it connects to some of the notions that we find in these Sukkim. Just to try to get as much as possible, we'll flip to Chafei. So here the Pasuk focuses on the women. So there is a lot to say about these ideas here. So first of all, just one point that we mentioned recently. So we talked about the whole idea of mitzvah asei shehazman grama, and how that is, at least on a Torah level, a p'tur. We weren't sure as a machlokas to what extent it applies to dinim d'rabbanim, but mitzvahs min ha-Torah, women are pater from mitzvahs asei shehazman grama. And we talked a little bit about the ratzon ha-Torah and when the Torah explicitly modifies that. So we said that two well-known examples are chametz and matzah, that because chametz and matzah are connected to each other, so therefore women are obligated in matzah, just like they're prohibited from eating chametz. And the other one is kiddush. Kiddush and matzah should both be on the surface mitzvah sasesha as one grama, but we have sources from the Pesukim that indicate that they're exceptions, so kiddush women are obligated in because of the relationship between shomer and zacher. So this pasuk may also be of a similar nature, because we mentioned that there is a question in the Rambam, that the Rambam says everyone's obligated in the mitzvah of binyan beis hamikdash, men and women, and that prompts the question that the beis hamikdash is not built at night or on Shabbos Yontif, which is the same limitations as tefillin, and therefore it would seem it should be a mitzvah sasei shazman grama. So why would women be obligated in binyan beis hamikdash if they're not obligated in tefillin? So there are many approaches. The Minchas Elazar in his Truvas has four approaches, and one approach that he mentions is that it's like Kiddush and Matzah, that there's a pasuk that tells you that women are obligated, and that's this pasuk, that here, Kol Isha Chokmat Leif, so we saw the women were involved in the Mishkan, so the Torah is telling us that this was a part of the obligation, and even though you could have thought, just mathematically, it's a mitzvah seisha azman grama, but we see the pasuk is telling us it's not true, just like we have by Kiddush and Matzah. That's so one approach. The approach exists in other Svarim also, some to agree with it and some to question it. In the Tshuva Space Yitzchok, you can find this discussion as well in a few other places. Some note that maybe it's not necessarily a Gilui in the same sense as Kiddush and Matzah. This is just telling us what happened. Okay, that many women volunteered to be involved. It's not necessarily indicating that there's a Chiyuv. Others saw it differently. So this is the Torah conveying to us that that's what's supposed to be. And therefore, as a part of the construction of Mishkan, and Mishkan is based on Mikdash, all one mitzvah, we see that women are involved. Al pi hashkafa, those who add, and Sefer Berakhos Shimon has this discussion, and others do as well, that the Shekhinah requires a joint effort between the men and the women. So therefore, in order to house the Shekhinah, so the Mishkan, by its definition, had to be constructed in such a fashion. That's one of the many points that's significant about this pasuk. In addition, it's interesting, so what Chachmas Lev are talking about specifically here, so Chazal tell us that the Chachma was that they spun the wool, they were able to spin the wool while it was still on the animal. That's quite a talent. They were very skilled at this. So that's what the pasuk is highlighting. So the Gemara addresses the issue that it's interesting because the malachos of Shabbos are derived from the Mishkan, but lahalacha, and the Gemara has this discussion, lahalacha, if you were going to do that with an animal, if you were going to spin wool while it was still on an animal, you'd be putter, because that's not the derech of doing things. So here we derive the Hilchos Shabbos from the Mishkan, and in this particular example, the Mishkan, the Torah is telling us this is what happened, and the Gemara is saying that that's actually not a way to violate the malacha. So the Gemara addresses that and says that Chachmi Yisrei Rishayni, that this again is the pasuk is conveying, it's just such an unusual skill that we can't extrapolate from that to any kind of normal malacha on Shabbos. So nowadays, if somebody were to do this, that would be considered unusual, that wouldn't be a normal violation of the malacha. But in the Chanami, in the Mishkan, these women were very talented and they were able to pull this off, so that is indeed what they did, but it doesn't transfer into the model for normal Hilchos Shabbos. This is just one of many references. I don't remember if we had a chance to discuss this at all this year, but it comes up so much, always worth pointing out, that this notion of Chachmas Halev is essentially the slogan for the second half of Shmos. It comes up so many times in so many forms, so many different constructs. We have repeated references again and again to the notion of Chachmas Halev, so it's certainly calling out to us to pay attention to, but it requires definition. Not so easy to understand what that means. Okay, this pasuk seems to have also this additional component of very skilled artistry here, but seems to also have a broader meaning that is permeating these parshiyos all throughout the last five parshiyos of Shmos. So the notion of Chachmas Halev is also important because the Gemara says in the Seches Brachos and Daf Nun Hey that if you want wisdom, this is where you got to turn, because the Gemara says that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoyiv Chachma Eloch Achimoyim, that God only gives wisdom to those who are wise. So it sounds like a loop, that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer if you're not wise in the first place. How do you get wise from that point on? So the pasuk in Kisisa says, "Belev kol chacham lev nasati chachma," that God says, "I have given chachma to all of those who are chachmei lev." So apparently, chachmas halev is something that you can acquire, and that's what is the first step to greater chachma. So many different interpretations spoken about in past years. Just to quickly note some of them. So one idea is that it's a reference to Yiras Shamayim. We say Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. Chaim Volozhiner understood it that way. And that it's a reference to the idea that if you want to really develop Chachma, it's only going to happen if you first have Yiras Shamayim. And that's something you can choose. That's not an intellectual talent that you're born with. That is something Chol B'Dei Shamayim Chutz MeYiras Shamayim. You decide to have Yiras Shamayim. And then from that, that's the Pasach to Chachma, and that's where Chachma can develop. Others understand it differently. It could be, this is built on the Ramban that we mentioned, that it's about feeling a pull towards Chachma and being drawn to it, and it's only people with that kind of tshuka and that kind of desire for Chachma who are able to derive further Chachma. And it's very fascinating, the Rambam, we mentioned the Rambam of Ornochus Talmud Torah, so it's interesting also in terms of the obligation of Talmud Torah, is a very beautiful essay the Or Sameach has that in his comments in Hilchos Talmud Torah, where he suggests that the obligation of Talmud Torah is all correlated to how much avos Torah a person has. The more you love Torah, the more your obligation of Talmud Torah actually descends upon you. And so the notion of being pulled to it spiritually, and that then taking you to more and more Chachma, is perhaps embedded in the whole concept of Talmud Torah. It's a very fascinating, very beautiful idea. And there are other suggestions as well, that maybe it's about anivus, that a person has a recognition that he doesn't know everything, which is very much connected to Yiras Shamayim. A person who has Yiras Shamayim realizes that he's not the whole world and he has a sense of modesty. Certainly not an unrelated interpretation, but that's also very crucial in order to have further chachma. That's why the Gemara says that we paskin like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai, that Beis Shammai was sharper, but Beis Hillel renochim v'aluvim yotzer, that Beis Hillel has a midah of anivus, and that's not irrelevant. That is very much relevant to the pursuit of truth. And that if you want to know how somebody is going to have a greater likelihood of acquiring chachma, it's going to happen more to the people who are modest than the people who are sharp, the people who are really able to appreciate what they don't know and to acknowledge the wisdom in what others are saying. That's where you really have a path to chachma. So it's a possible interpretation as well. And it sounds like from all these psukim, this pasuk especially, that it refers to a certain artistic ability, especially in the context of the construction of Mishkan here, but that's also not so different from all of these other interpretations, but that has to do with recognizing what's missing and recognizing what you can fill in. And that's a big part of our role in this world, balachta b'drachav, that we're meant to be people of chesed. People of chesed are able to perceive what is lacking in the world and how they can fill it in, and that's itself akin to the artistic instinct. And all of that is relevant and crucial to creating a home for the Shechina and to, therefore, the construction of the Mishkan. So this notion, which clearly the Torah does not want us to miss, that so many times it's repeated again and again and hammered into us that this is the theme, that we are trying to cultivate Chachmas Halev, and that the home for the Shechina is created and implemented by those who are Chachmei Lev, those who have this Midah. So it's clearly something that is very crucial. And the Medrash says in B'Shalach that Moshe Rabbeinu is called Chacham Lev, because the Pasuk in Mishnah says, Ki Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvot. And what's that a reference to? A reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, who at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, all of the Jews, they were involved in Bizas Mitzrayim and taking all the treasure from Mitzrayim. And Moshe, he was involved in taking the Atzmus Yosef. So it sounds like, oh, he's smart, he's doing mitzvot, and they're not. But as Rashi and Kambi Avner pointed out, many raised the question that taking the treasure from Mitzrayim was also a mitzvah. So how come it's making it sound like Moshe did a mitzvah and the rest of the Jews weren't involved in mitzvah? They're also involved in mitzvahs. That's what they were commanded to do. And he explains that the pasuk doesn't say ki chacham lev yikayim mitzvot. It says chacham lev yikach mitzvot. That, yes, they were all involved in mitzvot, but Moshe Rabbeinu, because of his chachmas halev, so he understood that he wants to acquire mitzvot. He understands that he wants it to be something that's his own, and that therefore he has to work, and he has to strive in order to acquire that, and therefore if you have a choice of mitzvot, and they're all mitzvot, but one mitzvah is very easy to do, and there's a financial profit, and it's not going to be so hard. And another mitzvah is to be a part of the Chevra Kadisha, to take Yosef's bones with. So that's a much more impactful mitzvah on your personality. So to pursue, even within mitzvahs, but to pursue the mitzvah that's going to have a bigger influence on who you are and is going to do more to make you grow, that's a very powerful idea. And that's perhaps what's being represented here. Okay, so just to try to get a little bit more, we'll just note Pasuk of Zion here. So now the Pasuk talks about the Nesiyim, but Nesiyim Hevi was Avnei HaShoam, Vias Avnei HaMiluim, Lo'ifah V'Lachoshen, etc., etc. So here, concerning this contribution of Nesiyim, so Rashi says that this is actually somewhat of a missed opportunity for the Nesiyim, that they waited until the end to see what they could bring that the others didn't bring. And then it turned out that everyone brought it up. So they were left with the Avnei Shoam, but there's no yud here, it's written chaser, because they're holding back. So, interesting, because it sounds like they had a good reason for holding back. you know, they were trying to see how they could be most helpful. They're trying to see what everyone else is going to bring. So it's hard to see why they should be criticized for that. So in the Sefer Yishlariyeh, it's a beautiful Sefer on Midos in the Parsha. So he notes that there is a statement here, perhaps, about the importance of Zrizus, that Zrizus maybe takes priority over other issues. That's something we spoke about, a little synergy back to the first semester, and we spoke about the sugi of Zrizus Makdim LeMitzvos, the beginning of Pesachim, and the whole question of what happens when it's brought up against other Midos. So here, they seem to have a good cheshbon here, but apparently Zrizus would still have been the higher priority. That's what it seems to sound. Or some suggest that maybe it wasn't such a perfect calculation because the idea that Klal Yisrael wasn't going to come through, they didn't have enough faith in them, that was perhaps a chisaron based on the Rabbeinu Bachya. The Sam Derech of Simchas Fabroid and also Chaim Shalevitz and Asichas Musar, so he suggests, this is an interesting psychological insight also, is that it was the lack of Zrizus that led them to that cheshbon. You know, the idea that, oh, yeah, it must be everyone else is going to take care of it. Let me just wait, hold back, and see what can be left for us to do. So that sounds like it's a good idea. You know, that sounds like it makes sense. But there's a yitzhahara to say that because it also allows you to not be so zaruz. It allows you to hold back. So perhaps there's really a underlying connection there that even though on the surface it sounds like it's logical, but it was driven by a lack of drive, paradoxically, and therefore perhaps there is still some room to call some negative attention to that. The Brisker Rav has a comment here that the message is that when you're given a mitzvah, so you shouldn't make any cheshbonus. You shouldn't say, like, well, you know, this is what we're supposed to do, but maybe other people will do it, and leave it alone. So that's not the best way to go. Okay, so just maybe quickly make one or two observations about the Sheni of Parshas Pekudei. So here we have about the making of the Eifel. The Yafis Eifel Zohar Techeles Yargamon Vesloh Shani Vesheish Mashadar. Vayiraku Espache Hazov Kitzei Tzilim Asos Pesoch Techeles Pesoch Yargamon. They beat out sheets of gold and then they cut threads out of them. And it's interesting that you have all this detail here. So Ramban says that this is because of the chiddush that they came up with to spin gold. And that was a creative innovation. And Broid and Sandarach, he comments here about how this is to show how much God values chiddushim and his avoda. The fact that they came up with this idea was something that was notable. Just to make one more observation about this and then just say a word or two about Parshas HaChodesh. So the Pasuk Zayin, just skip there for a second, the reference to the Avnei Zikaro. So the Avnei Zikaro, in that title, Meshech Chachma says, why are they stones called the Avnei Zikaro? It's because the Shvatim, they look at these stones and they're reminded not to sin. It's a reminder of who you are. And he evokes the connection there to what the Gemara says in Sota about when Yosef was in the Mitzrayim and he was tempted to sin with Eishes Potiphar, and he saw the image of his father. Presented with the image of his father. Very powerful idea, so much so that it was Soloveitchik in the beginning of Halachic Man. That Gemara is quoted as kind of a introduction to the entire book. So it's a very powerful thought, the idea that we are motivated to live up to our obligations into our potential, into our mission. We're reminded who we are, reminded of where we come from, and reminded of the expectations. So to see the names, and the Shvatim see their names on these stones, so they feel that kind of motivation, and that is what pushes them, and therefore the stones are called Avnei Zikara. Okay, so let's just say a word about Parshas HaChodesh. So Parshas HaChodesh, you can look at from two perspectives. You can look at it as Parsha HaChodesh. You can also look at it as the last of the Dalei Parshios. So we've had Parshas Zachar and Parshas Parah before those Parshas Shkalim. So this completes the unit. And the idea that they are a unit, it's an interesting idea. There's a whole Sefer about this, very nice Sefer by Rav Reuven Schwartz, where he develops at great length a lot of essays about how there is a connection in all these parshios. They're essentially really all Adar leanings, so we try to get them either actually in Adar or as close to Adar, either right before or right after, as we can. And that they are part of the expression of the theme of Simcha, of Adar, Mishenichnas Adar, Marim B'Simcha, and we express them through the themes of this leaning. And we should note that you shouldn't think that the Simcha of Adar is over just because Purim is in the past. You would maybe parallel it, you would think the parallel is to Av, is that Mishenichnas Av, Mematim B'Simcha. But we understand that that's because of Tisha B'Av, and that once Tisha B'Av is over, that mood changes. But when it comes to Purim and Adar, it's not the case. So just because Purim is in the past, Adar Simcha is not over. And Rashi writes in that Gemara, Mishnechnas Adar Ma'arim Simcha, he says, Yimei Nisim Purim V'Pesach. And we have one extended season here of Purim going into Pesach, where it's interesting to note also, especially we've been discussing at some length, the Gemara is Kal V'Chomer, of if we observe Pesach, when we were saved from slavery, the Kal V'Chomer, we should observe Purim, we were saved from extermination. But it also seems to suggest the idea that there's really one theme here, that Purim is expanding on the notion of Pesach. It's derived from Pesach. So the Persumenisa of Pesach gets even greater expression for the Persumenisa of Purim. And they are joined. And that's why when there's a leap year, it's one of the reasons why when there's a leap year, so we observe Purim in the second Adar and not the first Adar, we always keep it close to Pesach. And the Gemara says, Mismach Gula Gula Adif, so we want to have the Gulas juxtaposed to each other. So it really highlights the idea that we have one big theme here. So Mishnechnas Adar, Marv Simcha, and these parashios are all expressions of that. And Davka here also, as we kind of make a link in the border between Adar and Nisan, as we have the Shchodesh on Sunday. So this parsha brings us into the recognition of Nisan and of the Nisim and the obligations that are a part of that. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik had a very interesting idea that he thought that this is the culmination of the message that the Dalet Parshios are all taking to suggest to us, that is a expression of the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu tells us, Al Yisalel Chacham Chachmaso, Al Yisalel Gibor V'Giboraso, Al Yisalel Asher V'Ashro, that you shouldn't take pride in your wisdom. If you're very smart, don't be proud of that. And if you're very strong, don't be proud of that. And if you're very rich, don't be proud of that. Keep his oath, you're so welcome with Allah. This is what you should take pride in. You should take pride in knowing God and recognizing that he has given you a mission. So Rav Aaron suggested that that is what all the parshiyos together are trying to remind us of. So we say, Al Yisalel Chacham Chachmaso, that you shouldn't take such pride in our wisdom. So we read Parshas Para to give us a little humility about that, that we see that we don't understand everything, and that we don't know everything, so there are things that are beyond us, no matter how smart we think we are. And Al Yisalel Gibor V'Giboraso, we shouldn't take such pride in our strength, because Amalek is able to attack us and is able to cause us concern. So we should recognize that we shouldn't be too proud of that. And Al Yisalel Asher V'Ashro, that we shouldn't focus on our wealth as if that's just something for us to take pride in, that is only there so that we can be a part of the seaboard, a part of the needs of others, and that's what Parsha Shkolim is there to convey to us. But rather, the real source of pride is our knowledge of God and our recognition of his mission. So that's what Achodesh is telling us, that we are a nation that has directives, that has commandments, and Achodesh is Elohim. And that is what gives us our pride. So, of course, just to say a word about that idea of HaChodesh HaZelachem, so just kind of to restate notions that have been relevant to us the entire year, and very much of a synergistic value here, but the idea that the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people is the counting of the months, HaChodesh HaZelachem, so that has significance in many different ways. But it's also just the language that this month is for you, HaChodesh HaZelachem, the Soloveitchik and others darshaned on this concept, that it is highlighting to us the idea of time and the ability to make decisions within time, which is not the case for an Eved. An Eved does not have any control over his time. He's not able to make decisions, and he has to just do what his master tells him. He cannot choose how he's going to spend his time. And being free means now you have the opportunity and the responsibility to decide how you're going to spend your time. So HaChodesh HaZelachem, month time units, are now given to you to use and to develop and to make the most out of. So that is a very important charge and a very important appreciation at the dawn of the Jewish people. And we noted also in the first semester, when some of the sugyas really make this point very powerfully, but it's not a coincidence that the sugya of Zerizah Makdimah LeMitzvot, that we made reference to a few minutes ago, some synergy on that point, but the sugya of Zerizah Makdimah LeMitzvot is there in the first paragraph of Pesachim in the context of the Bikas Chametz, but it's all one piece, that the idea of freedom is that we need to have a greater sense of time awareness and an appreciation of the significance of time. And even more pointedly, one of the many statements in the Gemara that kind of cluster around this idea of the reason Makdimah LeMitzvot, that are all about how we use time and how we pay attention to it, is a machmisen es ha-mitzvot, that we don't let the mitzvot leaven, so to speak, clear Pesach reference, and it's one that's interpreted from the pasuk, a machmisen es ha-matzos, mikan she'shmartem es ha-matzos, mikan she'ein machmisen es ha-mitzvot, that we have to watch the matzos from becoming chametz. And Chazal understand that mitzvot, we should also make sure they don't become chametz. So the imagery there is very powerful, that we have to exert discipline on our environment and make sure that we make things kept under control. We don't let the bread leaven, let the bread rise. And that symbolism of matzah is a very powerful one, and it connects very much to this idea of being free and being liberated. And we spoke about how at the very beginning of the year, we spoke about how that's a part of the idea that chametz is considered to be so negative, and the imagery in the Gemara and Brachos that chametz represents the Eitz Hara, basically, to this extent, it represents letting things get out of control, letting things just rise without any kind of discipline and any kind of focus. And we are told to be very much not like that. We're told to be in control. We're told to work on controlling time and to using it well. And so, therefore, the idea of Ein Machmisen Es HaMitzvot embedded within the Dinim of Pesach is a very powerful reminder about. This is something that Rav Huttner writes about in his first Maimer in Pesach, the first Bachar Yitzchak in Pesach. He talks about this idea about Zrizus being a theme that is so intertwined with Pesach, as to make this point that we need to kind of defy the laws of physics, so we can't do that, but we do the best we can, kind of show that we are above time, show that we are not held back by time, we're not going to let time get the best of us, but we are going to get the best of time. So that is our mission, our goal. It's a theme that we see kind of throughout these aliyahs. It's a very powerful idea. So I wish you a wonderful Shabbos. I may send you some reading material that relates to some of our themes so that we can supplement what we've been learning. So keep an eye out for the WhatsApp if you to send you anything. But otherwise, I look forward to seeing you on Sunday. We'll go full steam ahead. And we should all know only Simchas, and we should have a safe and healthy and productive Shabbos. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Scar. I'll see you soon.
Shabbos, good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.